You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, I'm Brett.
And I'm Steven.
And we are
the Broadway Husbands.
We're just your all-American married couple making their living in the arts and pursuing a growing family. On the Broadway Husbands podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances.
We are living proof that you can love who you love and love what you do. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And if you really love us, make sure you leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands.
Members of our Patreon get exclusive access to behind-the-scenes videos, blogs, and other perks, including free apparel and so much more. To become part of our Patreon family, go to patreon.com/Broadway Husbands.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're recording this in the morning.
In case you can't tell.
We actually are doing an episode today that is just us, no guests.
No guests.
It was really fun having Taylor and Jeff in last week's episode, because I just think that they like have successfully navigated this like content creation game as a couple. You know, it's really interesting. And the irony that they bought a house at the same time
that we bought a house
and we're in, yeah. You know, it was really interesting. But yeah, today we actually, air conditioner just came on. We actually want to talk about our anniversary. We just had our 10-year wedding anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Can you believe it's been 10 years?
I know.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
I mean, 10 years seems really short nowadays. It just feels like time just like flies by, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, when I think of people who have been married for 10 years, I'm like, whoa. And I don't know if that's, it just, yeah, it has flown by. And I can't believe that it's been that long, because it just feels like it was just yesterday, A, that we got together, and B, that we got married. It's really crazy.
Yeah. 10 years ago, we kind of like decided last minute. We decided in like February to get married in April.
We decided on Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2011, to get married on April 18th, 2011. I think maybe we've talked about this on the podcast before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's an episode about it.
But Brett had come home from a tour and basically was like, are we going to get married or what? Like, what's happening? Are we getting married? Because we had been engaged for 3 years almost, or like 2.5 years at that point. And I was like, let's do it. Let's do it now. Let's do it now. And so we planned it for the day of our first date. And that's why we got married on April 18th.
4 years to the date.
4 years to the day. And then 10 years has just kind of flown by.
It's weird because I feel like there's been some anniversaries that have been so anticlimactic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like last year, we were just like in Pittsburgh, right?
Right.
And like, just, I honestly, I don't even know what we did.
I think we went over to my parents' house and we had dinner with my parents.
Right.
Because that's all we could do. Well, right. That's also all we could do because of the pandemic. And so we were like, loved going over there because it was, gave us something to do. And that's what we did. I don't know. I think it was just my mom and dad. I don't think that my brother was there.
I don't think your brother came. Yeah. And so this year we actually got to be in our home.
We got to be in our home that we just bought. And, so that was really nice. Although I did have to work. So I worked for what, like 5 or 6 hours. So I was gone.
Right. It's just adulting, right?
Adult stuff like you have to do, right?
But it's interesting to see how much our lives have changed in those 10 years. Because when we got married, we were living in our East Village apartment, which we had just purchased the year before.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Just so it had been like a little over a year. And when we first, when we got married, we had just done our taxes and we got like the first time home buyers tax credit. Thank you, Obama. And so our tax return that year was huge because of that. And then because the taxes on our apartment were so high, we got a lot of money back because we had paid so much in taxes that year. And so our tax return was huge. So we were kind of able to use all of that money to have the wedding. And so it was really helpful because we had like a very certain amount of money that we had. And when we would go and look at venues and do things, we were like, well, we want to stick within this budget, which wasn't very high for a wedding. But it was really helpful, like super helpful yeah. because we didn't go into debt over it. We just paid in cash. And
you know, we did the ceremony was outside. It didn't cost anything. Yeah. Just people had to get there from New York City. And it's interesting because marriage wasn't even legal in New York at that time.
That's right.
It didn't legalize until like 3 or 4 months after.
Yeah, at the end of June.
We had to get married in Connecticut. It's interesting now that like federally, law, you know, marriage is legal. Right. So that's one change that's happened.
Yeah.
But then also, you know, we're in the middle of this pandemic. Broadway is completely shut down. At that time, that was like our main ambition, our main source of income.
Yeah, it was the main, all of it. And yeah, it's just crazy how much has changed. But, you know, it's interesting, too. Like at the time, we weren't really that young, but, you know, I was like 30 or 31. And yeah, I guess I was 31 and because mm-hmm. I'm 41. And but at the time, like, we didn't really feel, it didn't feel like we really knew what we were doing. We were just kind of, we were working and we were making money and we knew we just wanted to be together and that was kind of it, you know, right?
Yeah.
And I like, so every year on your anniversary, there's different traditional gifts. And I can't remember them all. I mean, I can definitely
the
remember.
The first one was paper, right?
Was that the first year?
I think that's the first one. I remember like one was
paper. Oh yeah, paper. So paper
one was
copper. Yeah, so paper was the easiest one because you could really get anything, right? And I remember I was on tour in 2012 and you came to see me in DC because that's where I was on our anniversary. Mm. I can't believe I remember this.
Wow, you're so
You literally
good.
Came in for the night. We went out to eat for our anniversary and I my paper gift was a ticket to Japan. I'd buy your plane ticket because we on the tour we're going to Japan and so that was my paper gift, you know.
That was a like, good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And then there was a copper year. But
do you remember when I got you?
For the paper?
I don't remember either.
I don't either. I don't remember. Oh wait. No, but 1 year is a cotton year, and I don't remember what I got you, but I remember what you got me.
Oh, I remember this.
And so this must have been 2013.
You have such a good memory.
Well, no, I can just remember because I was...
It's the Tillicum shirt, right?
It's the Tillicum shirt. I have it's a white cotton t-shirt.
Which you still wear.
I still wear it. It says free Tillicum on it with like the kind of like the Free Willy, like, killer whale flying or jumping over the log or whatever from the movie. Cause that was the year that Blackfish came out.
Tillicum
and that was the year that
played Willy in the movie, right?
Keiko, okay. The killer whale played.
See, this is
Willy.
Why I got him the shirt. He knows so much.
Keiko,
about
the killer whale played Willy in the movie and Keiko was actually released.
Yeah.
In the wild and did live, I think, up to about a year in the wild, which is considered a success considering that they had never done it before. And anyways, that's not what we're talking about. So that was 1 year. Then what were some of the other years? The copper. I can remember I bought these rings and bracelets that were made out of copper that we could never really wear because
it made our hands turn green.
Yeah, like the rings would turn you green. So we have them probably still.
They're still,
in the jewelry place, jewelry box. But we can't really wear them because they just turn your skin
green. But this year, the 10-year anniversary is aluminum.
Yeah.
And so I had a friend who does these really cool like industrial sculptures out of like aluminum pipes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a stagehand and that's his pivot during the pandemic was to start making these sculptures. And we worked on Amazing Grace together, I think, or maybe, it was, anyway, we did a show together. And so I commissioned him to make a sculpture for us of us with our future kid.
And it's so cool.
And that was my gift for Steven. So we haven't received it yet. We have to kind of wait because he's finishing the project, but I sent Steven a photo.
It's so cool.
And that was kind of like my inventive way of coming up with something made out of aluminum. Otherwise,
do you remember what last year's gifts were?
I don't.
And maybe we just didn't do anything.
I'm sure we did something, but I can't remember.
Yeah, we'd have to look it up. I honestly don't remember. I do remember
crazy year.
Just like going over to my parents and being like, okay, great.
I don't remember. I really don't, because we were just in such a state of like survival.
Because it was the beginning. Yeah, it was the first
month.
We had
just gotten to Pittsburgh. And
yeah.
So what's interesting to me is to look at how much not just our lives have changed, but the world has changed, and especially our industry. Because if you haven't paid attention, if you're not a Broadway fan, there's a lot of chaos happening within the theater community because there's still no return to work, and the Actors Equity Union has yet to issue a plan for a return to work. And it's created a lot of chaos with people within the union because, you know, we see, I mean, Cirque du Soleil just announced that they're going back to work in their plan, and SAG-AFTRA has been able to keep a lot of their members employed. So why is Equity not really doing the same thing? Plus, there was a huge write-up in the Hollywood Reporter about Scott Rudin, who is a major Broadway and television film producer, probably one of the biggest powerhouses in Broadway, about his abusive behavior. And what's interesting is Steven actually was in one of his shows, and you know, most performers actually, I from what I understand, never really saw that abusive, hostile side of him. And actually most people I know who worked for him had nothing but nice things to say about their experience, because I guess he runs a really tight ship in a way that, you know, the people who work closest to him actually have to handle a lot of abuses. And if you haven't read the Hollywood Reporter article, I encourage you to do it, because I do think it shows a little bit of the high precedent that was set within the community and the entertainment community of how to treat people. And again, back to like the fact that there's no work right now, and there's still a lot of injustice and racial inequity within the commercial theater industry, because truthfully, theater is like a microcosm of our culture,
right?
Of American culture.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's not surprising that there's all this inequity, and because that's
just a reflection of
our culture.
On. Yeah.
And there's been a lot of call to arms to create some new policies and demands, and unfortunately, because Equity has been so silent, they're getting a brunt of it.
Yeah.
Like they're getting their own members. I think there's going to be a strike.
Hopefully they'll make some sort of statement about something. I feel like the silence is deafening. I mean, it's kind of unreal.
So it's very unsettling to know like what's happening with work. There's a lot of regional theaters and Lort theaters that are calling their seasons to start, and they've announced their seasons. And so clearly Equity has some sort of agreement with regional theaters.
And I've also seen, I've also seen a lot of casting calls for non-union tours starting up again. So, you know, there is protocol for theater, obviously, to come back. So hopefully they will, you know, announce something soon so that there's a way back for people to work.
I mean, the plan is for Broadway to come back in the fall.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. I'm supposed to have like a Wicked meeting soon to hear about whatever those plans are. But there's also within that, there's still a lot of policy and issues that need to be addressed around creating a healthy, mentally and emotionally healthy space for people to do their job. Because I think that after this Scott Rudin thing, a lot of people are, and they're not just like saying I've had horrible experiences, they're naming names.
Yeah.
Like they're dropping people's names within the industry who have mistreated them in different ways. And it's a hard pill to swallow when you hear, especially people, And those are people, a lot of those people are very powerful people who have been in the industry for a long time. So it's interesting to see, like, 10 years ago, we were just trying to, like, live that New York City dream. And now it's like, what is that New York City dream?
And also because what is the New York City dream? And then also the fact that we wake up and right now we're living in this beautiful new house that we bought and it's been so great. But yet, you know, we're still the same people. We're fish out of water in a good way, not in an uncomfortable way, but we're still those actors and dancers, and we still have pursuits that we want to pursue and dreams and the drive, and we're still auditioning, but it just looks so different, right?
It also looks different because we're just at a different
age
and season of life.
Yeah.
And our priorities are different.
Yes.
And so it has been a very interesting time to try to listen and be an ally, to not, it gets very confusing what's happening in the community. Because there's some things I hear that there's absolute racial injustice and inequity there, but then there's also this horrible, abusive, power hungry right. people who I think that there's a level of that isn't based on race, or maybe it's based on race and that it's white supremacy. I mean, these are people who are in charge, but I also know, I know of people, who've mistreated, people of their own race within right. the community. Yeah. And so it's a power issue, as well as a racial issue. And it's trying to listen and see how we can take action and be of help. So there's some great organizations. If you're somebody who really wants to be a part of the change within the theater community, even if you're a fan, if you're just somebody who loves theater, and you want to see some social justice, check out Black Theater United. Also check out the Broadway Advocacy Coalition. And then, of course, one of the organizations that's been kind of amazing to watch and very strong is Affect Change, AFECT, Change, mm-hmm. which is Karen Olivo and Eden Espinoza, yeah. who have been two women of color who are being so bold and so strong, and they're Broadway powerhouses, and they're calling the injustice out. And yeah. I just think it's really impressive, and we're trying to support those organizations because they're really focused on education. And I think that's really important that we all learn.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be an interesting climb back
to work or to normal. I mean, I don't whatever know that, that is. Just back to production. I guess you could call it back to production. And you know, it's interesting too, right? I mean, how many years have you been a member of Equity? What's your anniversary of Equity?
I joined in 2001.
2001. So 20 years.
20 years.
Wow. It's interesting because I didn't join Equity until I was like a child actor. So I would like had weeks, but I wasn't actually a member until 2008 when I did Billy Elliot. I was a part of another union at the ballet. And, you know, there's just a lot of work to be done. And it's coming from one union to another union. You know, I didn't quite understand how Equity kind of worked, because it always felt like as an actor in a show, you didn't really have a voice or a vote on what was actually happening because the decisions had kind of already been made before you showed up to work. And that
was
kind of
I don't think a lot of people understand that. They're like, there's committees, and when a project is pitched or created by producers and they pitch it to Equity has this committee look at what the producers want and write up the contracts, and it's all agreed to by this committee. So no one actually in the show, unless they're on the committee, has any say or any pull. Right. And there's very few people, I mean, from what I know, like that who are busy working all the time or on tour or whatever, that can actually be on a lot of these committees. Mm-hmm. You have to be elected and all of that stuff. So
yeah,
usually you show up and you're like, wait a second, this is a different contract. Like when right. you got on Billy Elliot, yeah, there was like
very different things. So like
usually like tech is like 4 weeks and you had like 6 weeks of tech.
Yeah, there was something that was extra, but like that was like my biggest, the biggest difference that I noticed, because in the other union that I was in, it felt like, I guess since I had worked there for so many years, of course I was involved with, we had company meetings where we would vote on yes or no for whatever was happening
at the ballet,
and if things went our way, things went our way. And if things didn't, you know, there was some sort of compromise, but we were all like really aware of
the dancers specifically were.
Yeah. We were all basically the committee.
It doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work like that on Broadway or in Equity. So it was a big learning curve. And
I remember you being really shocked.
I was like, what's happening?
Were operating. You were like, I didn't agree to this. You're like, well, you don't have to.
Yeah.
The committee does.
It was a big learning curve.
Yeah,
for sure.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
For sure.
So it's, you know, there's some things I'm hearing around change that I agree with, and there's some things I'm hearing around change that I don't necessarily agree with, and that's okay, but I think that there's a systemic problem, and it's been built into the system for a long time, and that is that equity, and there's a scarcity mindset within actors
right, because they
because we're always afraid we're not going to have enough work, right. And so collectively as a union, we bend to the producers because we want more work, and that has caused the producers to have a lot more power. And so, and then our stage managers basically work for the producers, but they're part of our union.
Yeah.
So there's all this structural things that need to sort of change in order for it to be a healthier environment. And I'm very curious to see how those things move forward. So if I would say go follow those organizations. But at the time, I remember when we first got married, you know, we were hungry to like work. We just really wanted to be working.
Yeah. And we did.
And we did. Yeah. And in 2010, I went on the national tour of South Pacific.
That's right.
And that was a CETA tour, and I'd never done a CETA contract tour. Mm-hmm. And that's been one of the big
hot topics
during all of this is the CETA contracts. Mm-hmm. CETA is like a short
engagement touring agreement.
And that was basically Equity. I mean, long story short, Equity's deal to try to alleviate the fact that a lot of first national tours were going out non-union. So they were like, well, here, producers, we'll create this contract where you can basically tier based on your budget. And so, now all these first national tours are going out really low budget, really low salary. They're being operated by non-union company management and general managers. So they have no respect for anyone who's a part of the union. And that was my experience. If you came to them and said, hey, I need this, they would roll their eyes and laugh at your demands or be like, hey, like I have bed bugs. And they'd be like, ugh.
Oh, no. Oh, right. I remember that. Yeah.
Because they're just like, they felt like, oh, actors just always complain, There was like, I remember I was so miserable on that tour.
Brett, I will say it was very miserable.
I also just think I learned I don't like touring.
You don't like touring. Yeah,
but that to me is like a big hot topic is these CETA contracts, mm-hmm. SETA contracts. Mm-hmm. And so that's interesting. There was a real big expose on Facebook Live last week about the Cats national tour.
Yeah.
So,
but then also, like, at the same time, I went on a CETA tour the next year, and I mean, I could see there were certain issues, but me personally, I had a very good contract and felt very taken care of. So that's really the issue, right?
It's really like up to, it's a free for all.
It's a free for all, right? You have to be very clear on what's happening, and you have to get everything in writing, and
that's the issue, right?
Then where's the union?
It's so capitalistic that there's no seamless oversight. It's just sort of like, well, these producers run this way and these producers run this way. And I've talked about this a lot over the last year, that, you know, if you go into any major corporation like Disney or Apple or Google, you know, everyone has to buy into that company's core values and in order to work there. Right. And if you want to become a management position or a leadership position, and mind you, a lot of these people's core values are about everyone as a leader. Let's treat everyone like a leader and let's make sure that everyone meets their potential, right? So that starts from the top. Yeah. And so all these major corporations who are making millions and billions of dollars have core values that everyone who works there has to buy into. And Broadway, which is a billion-dollar industry, billions and billions of dollars, doesn't have that, right? Mm-hmm. Every single show is its own
thing,
corporation. Yeah. And so they can choose how they want to run it. And the people who are at the top of those shows don't have to have any buy-in to those leadership positions. They just have to be a member of a union.
Yeah.
And the union doesn't hold people accountable to any of those things. It's just safe and sanitary working conditions. And safe and sanitary in old days, I think, was just physical, safe and sanitary, and that's not good enough anymore.
Yeah.
There has to be a mental and emotional safety as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm really hoping they come up with a solution to that problem.
So next year at this time, on April 18th, 2022, God, it's so future. 2022, what is one hope that you hope for Broadway or for theater? Or, you know, what would you like to see next year on our anniversary for theater?
I want there to be at least one major, like one of the theater owners, somebody who owns a theater on Broadway needs to be a person of color. We have to get the Nederlanders and the Jujamsons and the Schuberts to stop hogging it all. And get somebody, they should auction off one of the theaters to a producer of color, you know, and best buyer wins. And it's now producing, because that's the only way things are going to change is the theater owners have all of the power.
Yeah. Wow. I'd like to see. That's really specific and good. I think for me right now, it's just, I just would like to see some sort of agreement come to and some sort of real actionable plan for change. No matter how, I mean, I don't want to say big or small, but I just want to see like some sort of actionable plan of change in the workplace, safety in the workplace, and dates.
It hasn't worked. It has not worked in a year.
Yeah.
I mean, you've done shows. I mean, you did a show where you fell in the orchestra pit during tech and, you know, in even though you had said something previous to that you didn't really feel comfortable doing it, you didn't say the word safe.
I didn't say the word safe.
Which is like the magic word, apparently. You risked that. Yeah. I went through a horrible creative process with Paramore, and Equity agreed to all of that and gave the producers as much power, and we had none.
Yeah.
And so something has to change.
Something has to change. But so then moving on from theater, what do you want to see? What is one big hope that you have from today until next year at this time? For us.
Marriage. I hope we have our baby this time.
Me too.
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, we haven't really talked about this. Do you want to say anything about it?
I mean, yeah. Do we have time on this episode?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, we have a surrogate and we had an embryo transfer
in February.
And it's now April. And there, you know, she had tested positive for pregnancy and the embryo was growing. And at one point we heard a slow heartbeat, which was really concerning. And then the next week we didn't hear anything. So the pregnancy, the embryo didn't take.
So we had to have a miscarriage.
So which was really
and
hard.
It was all in the middle of
moving.
And it was very, very stressful. And we actually haven't really talked about it publicly
no.
to anybody. And we were very sad. I mean, we still are.
We still are.
Because it was just so disappointing. And our poor surrogate had to then go through the process of expelling the pregnancy. And that took almost a month.
To about 3 weeks. So we're finally at a point now where we've kind of gotten over it a little bit. And her body has gotten better and she's feeling better. And we're hopeful that we'll, you know, be able to do another transfer soon and that our baby will be here next year at this time.
Yeah.
So that's really, I think, both of our goals and hopes and dreams, right?
Yeah. I think that I'm very optimistic.
Yeah.
This next one will take.
Me too.
And well, this time next year, we'll have a baby.
Ah!
So, but it's definitely been a stressful time.
Yeah.
No. And we're very glad to be on the other side. We're fully vaccinated.
Oh, yeah, we're fully vaccinated. That's super
exciting.
If you
haven't gotten your vaccine, go get it. There's definitely a little bit of freedom, I feel, just mentally,
mm-hmm.
knowing that I have it, even though I know it doesn't prevent us from getting COVID.
We're still wearing masks. We're still doing all the things.
It just feels good to have
that. Feels just a little calmer. Yeah.
And I'm excited too. I feel like now that we're in Houston, I feel like we're going to make some great relationships here. And
yeah,
I want to help the theater and the arts community here as much as we can. And we really enjoy making reels.
We do?
Yeah.
And I know we do.
If you don't follow us on Instagram.
You should.
and we're really enjoying getting to know the arts community here in Houston. And I want to start creating things now that we're in one place.
Yeah.
I have like lots of ideas, so we'll see.
All right. Well, that sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds really good.
Well, this was our update for you guys.
This is our update.
And also a little bit of a passion about what's happening in theater. I think we need to all be really aware. We don't ever really talk about Broadway that much on the podcast, and we would like to talk about it more. If you want to hear certain topics, make sure you reach out to us and let us know.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to the Broadway Husbands podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, and while you're at it, leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on.
Don't forget to check out Broadway Life Apparel and our new designs that are released every month. Thanks to our Patreon patrons. Don't forget to join our family by going to patreon.com/Broadway Husbands.
And a big shout out to the Broadway Podcast Network. Go to bpn.fm/husbands to check out the wide array of Broadway-themed podcasts for your listening pleasure. And on this podcast, we encourage you to love who you love.
And love what you do.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.